Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem, your light has shined. These prophets, these prophetic words from Isaiah from the first reading set the stage, the tone for today's feast day, this great feast, the solemnity of the Epiphany. This word Epiphany, which means the manifestation, the revelation, the unveiling, this appearance of the glory of Jesus Christ. And traditionally, this day is celebrated more with more enthusiasm and more celebration than Christmas. It's an older feast day on the calendar. The church was celebrating, especially in the East, celebrating Epiphany long before we celebrated Christmas. This great manifestation of Jesus. And so we have the readings about the visit of the Magi. But there are two other events the church would point to as the Epiphany, the manifestation of Jesus and his glory. We'll celebrate one next week, which is the baptism of Jesus. Then also we look at the wedding feast at Cana. These three events where publicly Jesus was made manifest as the King, as the Messiah. And this is what we celebrate today. Especially today, the visit of the Magi has a special significance for each one of us. Because on Christmas, we heard the readings and we celebrate and we have the shepherd in the manger on Christmas. Because on that night, the angel appeared to the shepherds, those Jewish men who were close by, who went to honor and adore and pay homage to Jesus. But today, the men from the East, that faraway place, those non-Jews, those other people, those people who were not part of us, our group, the non-Jews received the revelation as well. And this is why it's important for us, because I assume if not all, then almost all of us are of Gentile heritage. And so this feast day today is what allows us to honor and celebrate and adore Jesus Christ as King, as Messiah. Because as we heard in the Old Testament, as we heard in the Psalm, this prophecy that the light would come for all the nations. All the nations is another way of saying the Gentiles, the pagans, the peoples, the non-Jews. We know the story that God had chosen the Jewish people, the Israelites, as his chosen special people, not because there's anything good about them or specific about them, but God chose them to be a light to the nations. And we say the lumen gentium, the light to the Gentiles. But we know the story of sin. And what happened, they started to separate themselves, the us versus them, the Jews and everybody else. So instead of being a light to the nations, shining forth the glory of God, they walled themselves off, closed themselves in, and wouldn't let anybody else in. And so the prophecy of this coming Messiah to all the nations seemed foreign to so many. And this is the glory of today's feast. That Christ didn't come just for the Jews, just for the us. He came for the them as well. And so maybe that's a first point of reflection. What divisions do we create in our world, in our lives? Who do we look at as the other, as unworthy? Allow this feast to eradicate all of those prejudices, all of those barriers, all of those obstacles to love the other. Because Christ came to gather everyone, not just the Jews, but everyone together into the one people of God. And this is what we celebrate today. These Magi, these men who we don't know much about. Tradition tells us many things, that they were from the East. We think there were three because there were three gifts. Who knows? They were Magi, some type of scientist, some type of astronomer, learned men. We can assume that they had some prominence in their community, that they were special VIPs, that they knew the ways of the world. They studied the stars. And something special happened to them, that these scientists, unlike today, these scientists in that day were open to the reality of faith. That they knew that science, that their rational belief could only take them so far. And they were wondering with awe at the stars, at the cosmos. So they allowed their learned, their scholarship, to take them as far as it could, and then they allowed God, and whoever this God was as a pagan believer, to draw them outside of themselves on this journey. And this is important for us to reflect on, especially in these days, where we have allowed this division, this us and them, to come into our faith and reason. Science and faith, we've allowed this division. We've allowed them out there to tell us that science and faith don't go together. And so many young people, high schoolers, middle schoolers, are giving up, doubting the faith, because what they learn in science doesn't seem to relate to what they learn in religion. That the life they live at home doesn't match the life we have at church. And so they choose science over faith. So many of our young people are losing the faith and leaving the church. And so this is a great day for us to rejoice, to know that faith and science go together. That as we sit in silence, and when we wonder at science, we close, turn off the lights and let it get dark at night and see the stars. And like these three magi, allow our hearts to be awakened with wonder and awe at the glory of this God who created everything. And then follow that. That's what these men did. These men of prominence who were probably popular in their community, probably faced ridicule for leaving the comfort zone, their comfortable life they had, to go on this journey to an unknown land. Are we willing to make that same journey? Or have we closed off our world that I know what is true, I know what is right, and nothing or no one can tell me anything different? The Magi today encourage us to go beyond just what we can see and what we can test. Allow faith to draw us out. And their science, their rationality brought them to the palace. And the new king was born, why not go to the palace? He wasn't there. And so Herod, another man of prominence, another learned man who had everything he wanted, called together the chief priests, the scribes, the leaders of the faith. So this is where the science and the faith come together. And these men of faith knew the prophecy. They knew where to direct the Magi. But they didn't go either. Herod didn't go. The chief priests and scribes didn't go. They also seemed to be comfortable in their way of life, unwilling to be made uncomfortable by embracing the unknown. And by being unwilling to go all the way to Jesus, to that light of the nations. Again, this is a beautiful feast for so many reasons, but really this one, where the crisis of faith in our culture can be redeemed and healed if we allow the Magi to teach us. When we know about Herod, he saw this new king as a competition, as a rival. He was living the life of power and pleasure. How many of us see Jesus as a rival sometimes? That we've built our kingdoms, that we have our status, we have our plan, we have our desires, we have everything we want and everything we need, and somebody comes Somebody named Jesus is introduced to us, and we realize it's going to take a radical change in our lifestyle. That we can't hold on firmly to the beliefs that we had. That we must enter into the new way of life with Jesus. Herod saw Jesus as a rival. How often do we? The chief priests and the scribes as well. They were unwilling to make that journey. Are you willing to make the journey to Jesus? Are you willing to step outside your comfort zone? To step outside what you know, to go all the way and allow Jesus to change your life? Because that's what happened to the Magi. Once they got to Jesus and they knelt down, they prostrated, they went home a different way. Their life was changed. They were no longer the same. When we encounter Christ, our life cannot be the same. So where are you in this story? There was some light in your life that got you here this evening. Maybe it was a family member, maybe it was, who knows what, a desire in your heart, or just routine of what you do on a Sunday night. But something got you out of your house through the cold Florida winter in the cold Florida church to come for something. What was it? Why are you here? What are you looking for? What are you seeking? What more do you want? What more do you need? Because I would tell you the star that brought you here is this little red candle. The star that points us to Jesus, who's now in this golden box. I'm sure the Magi were surprised to find Jesus, the newborn king, on the lap of his mom, this poor unmarried girl. Are you surprised to find God in the host? When the Magi encountered Jesus, they hit their face to the floor and paid him homage. What was your reaction when you walked into the church this evening? Did you allow yourself to be overjoyed at the presence of God like the Magi were? Did you allow yourself to kneel down in homage and respect and adoration for the God of the entire universe, who is no longer just this baby, but the host, the Eucharist? Did you allow yourself to be encountered by the man, Jesus, who loves you, who came as a baby, who comes as the host to change your life? And when you leave out of here changed, will you go home a, quote, different way? The world is in desperate need for new lights of Christ. There is a crisis of faith in the world and in the church. Many people are dying because they're starving for the one thing that can save them. And you might be the only one that can speak that truth to them. You might be the only one to be the light in their life. The church needed the Magi. The church needs you. Are you willing to get out of your comfort zone? Are you willing to be uncomfortable? Are you willing to encounter Jesus? To get down on your knees, to put your face on the floor, to give him everything that you have? Are you willing to let him change your life? Rise up in splendor, Holy Family, for your light has come. Amen.